Podcast, and I am Steve Miggs, and I am here with the Reverend Enfuego.
Hello.
Glenn Cannon.
Hi.
And I love it. We've got our friends from Lion Pride Music hanging out with us. We got Levi Lion.
Yeah.
We got my man Rich over there that takes us to and from Spokane. Keeps us safe. He's a legend with the donkeys and our Easter weekend trips and everything else. And then, very excited, we have Levi's mom hanging with us as well, Linda. Linda Lion.
Hi.
It's a family affair going on today. It's good to have you here.
Thank
you. We'll talk to you in a little bit because I want to hear some stories about Levi Lion stories. All right, cool.
That was coming.
Before we get to anything, Levi, you've got an incredible slew of events that are going to be happening towards the end of November into December. And I know we have a guest on, but real quick before we chat with our guest, what do we have coming up leading into all this?
It's the big Long Beach Rehab DJ Yella tour coming up, starting November 26th and then ending Saturday, December 1st down at the J&M Cafe.
And if you just type in Lion Pride Music on Facebook, you'll be able to get all the information. Also, Lion Pride Music on the internet and all that good stuff.
All that good stuff. Or type in Long Beach Rehab. Don't just type in Rehab because then all this other stuff, Long Beach Rehab, stuff pops up. But.
You know, people who listen to us probably should also type in Rehab.
Yeah, as a secondary search after you get hip to what Levi's doing.
But we have someone who's a part of this whole thing, and obviously people who are fans of Sublime, once you hear Long Beach, you know that there's going to be a heavy Sublime influence as well, but there's also a Green Day influence too. We've got Raj on the phone. Raj!
Ew.
What's up?
How are you, my man?
Doing great. How are you guys doing out there?
Doing fantastic, my man. So I'm excited to talk to you because obviously there's like Levi was telling me, there's a Green Day documentary that's being in the works, and for obviously hardcore Green Day fans, they're gonna be like, oh, cool. But like, tell everybody your history and your involvement with Green Day.
So back when we were in elementary school, we started together, started playing, and we played all the way up until about 1990, when, if you watch the documentary, you'll actually see there's scenes in there where I was just at a show and I was done with it, dude. And I didn't think we were going anywhere, and it was just getting to be a rat race. And I said, it, and literally left my drum kit there and said goodbye.
Wait, so you just, in the middle of the show, you're like, you know what?
No, not at the middle of the show, at the end of the show.
Okay. I was gonna say, that is epic.
Actually, if you watch the documentary, Billy will tell you, he says, man, we had a great show, and then all of a sudden, we left.
So what was going on in your head at that moment where you just like, screw it, and you walked off? Was there something, were you mad at the band? Were you just done with the whole vibe? What was going on?
Just a lot of things, man. It's, as you know, groups are like revolving doors, man. They're in, they're out, and everything else, and it's just, I wanted to make some money, you know, and mm-hmm. so I went and I got a career in the masonry field and, still continued my music obviously as well. And,
right.
I think I went a little different, direction and, the movie's called, Turn It Around. It is actually out now. Watch it. There's a lot of good truth in there. And there's a lot of stuff that's not true in there. So I'm waiting for somebody to hit me up and say, hey, what is the real truth in the, you know.
What's something that pops in when you were watching it? You're just like, that is so far from the truth. And what was it that made you think that?
Well, the funny part is that when you watch the beginning of the movie, the actual movie, it says, how I was an initiator. Anybody that knows me knows that I'm a go-getter. I'm a goer. I'm the one that makes get done. So, I went through and got a lot of done, and a lot of other people do talking and not get the done. And I just, I don't know.
No, I hear it. So then when you're watching as like this band grows, like you see, okay, then they have, was it Scott, I think, was the next drummer for the band, if I remember correctly. I can't remember. Or John. And then obviously Trey Cool, then after that. What's your take on Green Day as they've grown from when you were playing with those guys to where they are now?
I mean, they're a phenomenal band, and I love them to death, and I love them as pros and everything else. And they put out good music, I'm still cool with everybody. Obviously, it's just that to be honest with you, I didn't get the credit that I deserved.
Yeah, I hear you.
If you want to know, if you want to know the truth of it all, I mean, this wouldn't have happened had my father not opened up his home to us to be able to make tons of noise all day long and all night long. Then this wouldn't have happened. I mean, not that it wouldn't have happened, but you know what I'm saying. There's a lot of credit that at the beginning of the movie shows how I go and help make all these things happen, and then at the very end, if you go to the deleted scenes, there's a scene in there that's called Roger's Drum Kit, and he says, you know, Raj, remember? And he goes, but he was only filling in or something like that. And it's just like that was a smack in my face. So I kind of want to come back with a rebuttal movie.
No, I hear that, man. That would be, yeah, if you're watching that, and you're just like, you son of a bitch, man. I've done a little bit more than just filling in.
We shows together. We played at the Mabuhay Gardens Rock on Broadway when Paul Bailoff was running it, the lead singer of Exodus at the time. Nice. You know, it'd be like doing shows with Levi, you know, in the local scene, and then all of a sudden you blow up and you don't want to give credit to one of your homies that you played for years with.
Take me with you, bro.
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And I walked away. It's not like you guys kicked me out or I sucked. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, it's okay though. But I wish them the best. And I mean, nobody can say anything bad about them. They made it. They did it. You know, who's got a musical Broadway? I don't.
None of us do, actually, except for them. Yeah, that's a very good point.
You know, I mean, I'm going to give credit where credit's due, and they're amazing, you know, and I have much love for them. And, you know, I see them from time to time. It's just I wish that everybody could be real, and the reason why I feel that they're doing that is because they don't want to, you know, give me the credit and get me paid where I should get paid. So.
Now, do you have a fun story though of the early days of you guys, you know, jamming? Like, is there a favorite memory of you just jamming with the guys, or something where you're just like, man, that I still look back and smile. Obviously, yeah, I agree with you, man. You deserve the respect that you deserve. But do you have a moment when you're looking back on, like, you know what? But that moment, I could always look back on with a big smile on my face.
Oh man, to be honest with you, all the moments, man. The energy that we had in the room was amazing, and we played a lot of shows, man. We were starting to get, you know, a lot of treadway, and there's actual video of us playing together in the movie. So
cool, man. That's great. That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's pretty cool. And like I said, I love Green Day. But now my Green Day is every day because I own a I own a retail production facility where we grow for the state of Oregon. And it's 34,000 square foot indoor.
Rad Whoa. Nursery Products, right?
Rad Nursery Products.
Yeah.
Make sure you check us out on Instagram, Rad Nursery Products, Rad Grow. And yeah, check it out. It's definitely a fire.
That is all. Talk about it.
Every day's a Green Day.
Go from Green Day to Green Day.
Yeah, exactly. You see, I knew I had another Green Day.
It was your calling to stick with the green. Yep. Where is that located at, then?
That's in Rainier, Oregon.
Oh, cool. Awesome.
Just over the Longview. So,
wait. So, there's also kind of a weird thing because of Green Day having that song Longview,
right?
So everything's coming together. It's like
if you think of the song Jar, that's apparently about Jason Andrew-Relvo, which is a mutual friend of ours that we had growing up that passed away on us, that we all love as a brother. But it's Jar is Raj backwards. So,
well, awesome, my man. And then you're going to be a part of some of these shows with the Long Beach Rehab, along with.
I am. I'm going to jam with them. And then I also have been doing quite a bit of shows with Curtis Young, Dr. Dre's son, in a whole different realm of music. But and we're getting ready to do the Ink Tour.
That's awesome. Nice. Well, we'll have to make sure to keep our eye out for that when you do some stuff here in Seattle.
Absolutely.
Well, Raj, man, I really do appreciate you taking some time out. Again, check out Rad Nursery Products, and also check out the what's the name of the documentary again?
It's called Turn It Around.
Turn It Around. Get an inside scoop behind the world.
You can buy it on Amazon, all that stuff. It's all for sale.
Awesome, man. Anything else you want to let people know about, any other musical stuff or whatever it may be that you want people to know about?
Just know that I'm out there doing a lot of stuff with a lot of artists, and I feel very honored and I'm very grateful to all the opportunities that I do get, and I think my chops speak for themselves. Yeah, man, I appreciate all the love and support. And remember, Lion Pride Music, they do a lot of great things for this local music scene as well as national. So, you know, Levi, we love you.
Woo, much love, man. Yeah.
Right on, Raj.
KISW, you know you guys rock, man. 99.9, The Rock.
Hell yeah, brother. Appreciate that. Well, awesome, my man. We're looking forward to seeing what else happens in the near future. And we're looking forward to seeing you with the Long Beach Rehab project that's happening here in the Northwest.
Come out and check it out, man. It'll definitely be a good time. And, you know, we'll give you a good show.
Awesome, dude.
All right, you guys have a great day.
Sweet. Take care, man.
Take care.
There's some really cool documentaries coming out.
Dude, I need to see this documentary. I didn't even know anything about it.
I didn't even know it was out there. Yeah, I'd like to check it out as well.
I was a little nervous. I was like, okay, we're running out of bleeps, I think, for the red.
I think he was thinking, you know, he probably knew it was a podcast, but he wasn't thinking about the fact that it's an intercom.
Oh, it's fine. You know what? It's fun to watch your face every time you drop the F or the S word. I'm like, oh, this might be more. I almost wish we had a webcam for when guests curse on our show. Dude, like, yeah, it's freaking hilarious.
If only people could see, like, at one point, I literally had you had your head down, marking down all the timestamps. Mm-hmm. I had my horns up.
At that point, once it hit like 4 or 5, I was just like, I can't concentrate on anything. Turn off my mic. I'm not going to be talking. I need to pay attention to the times so I don't have to spend all day re-listening to all of it. I just want to get those bleeps done.
And watching Steve respond was also hilarious.
Because I'm like, what other questions can I ask that might lead to more curse words?
Any question.
So I'm like, more questions about Green Day. It seems like he has some choice things to say.
Harkens back to the era of Red the Stripper, man.
Yes.
Dude, I know. I was thinking that too. I'm like, well, is he going to beat Reds? No. There's no way he's going
to
beat Reds.
No, we wouldn't. We'd have to talk to him for like an hour to be able to make that happen.
The editing on hers. I love Red. Absolutely love her.
Don't miss her potty mouth.
And she's gotten a lot better.
Because we haven't had her on in forever.
Well, that's true.
Well, I heard from her recently. She sent me a direct message on Twitter.
Right?
Yeah, it seems like that. She wants to come say hi to us again. She had one of her stripper friends she wanted to bring in. I was like, yeah, sure, anytime. And then I never heard anything again. Rich is raising his hand. He'll pick them up with the Lion Pride bus.
That's right.
Yeah.
Give him a good ride over to the station.
As it were.
No pun intended.
So it's an interesting thing. Obviously, I don't know what that would be like to be a member of a band. They go on to become something huge, and you don't get credit in a way that you feel like you should.
Yeah.
I don't know the full backstory, but it sounds like as if he was playing with them back in the early days. That's why I want to see the documentary just to see what he's talking about, because I don't know. And at first, when I heard that you said, hey, Raj from Green Day, I'll be honest, man. I only knew John before Trey, and then it's been Green, you know, that three pieces.
Knew Trey, yeah.
Right. They had the other guy for the EP and the other Rick Kerplunk. And then Trey came in to fill in for him. Things went so well that the John guy's like, look, I can't keep doing it, and I give you my blessing to let Trey be the now drummer of Green Day Permanent. So it was like a cool passing of the torch. But then I was like, well, who's Raj? And I go on Wikipedia, and Raj's name is on there. And I'm like, well, I have no information about this guy as a member of Green Day. And I thought I was kind of a Green Day dork, especially back in the early days. Clearly,
it's
I wasn't.
One of those funny things, too. I mean, this is on obviously a much smaller scale, but... You know, here's a guy that stepped down from that project. That project went on to go and do really big things, and now they've put out a documentary, and he feels slighted by some of the things in the documentary.
Sure.
So, you know, Windowpane put out that documentary, like I said, much, 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 much smaller scale.
Right, Green Day can't hold a candle like Windowpane.
There was, you know, our old drummer Mike was featured prominently in the film, and it was like, you know, Mike comes in, and the band blew up as a result of what he brought to the table, and we kind of gave him all this love. There was a whole chapter dedicated to just... Mike, and then Mike, of course, voluntarily stepping down.
Yeah.
And we ran into the same thing. When that movie came out, Mike reached out and was like, yeah, I kind of feel slighted. Mm. And of course, we're like, how? Why? Yeah. And so we had this discussion about, you know, like, dude, we championed you for bringing the band into the spotlight.
No, Mike's a phenomenal drummer.
Yeah. And so it was just one of those things that needed to be discussed. And the only reason I bring all that up is as he was talking about that, I was like, man, I bet from their point of view, they have no idea that they slighted him. Didn't mean to.
Yep.
And via a conversation, I'm sure it could all be smoothed out. Like, oh, bro, we gave you all this love. We did all this. You know what I mean? So I was listening to that like, God, I've actually lived sort of what he's talking about.
Yeah.
And everything's all cool. I don't want anyone to get the wrong idea. You know, I could really relate to that as I was hearing him talk about that, because we gave Mike so much love and there were just some things he expected that weren't mentioned, and that hurt his feelings. But once we pointed out, like, dude, watch it again through a different set of eyes.
Right, don't watch it from the eyes of being the drummer
that was in Windowpane. Right. Like, yeah, dude, we championed you and basically made you, you know, responsible for our first big growth. You know, we really kind of sang you high praises. And after that conversation, everything was cool. But, like, hearing him talk really reminded me of that whole scenario. And
fun fact about Mike, he doesn't curse as much as Raj. That's the first fun fact.
Second fun fact
about Mike is that many, many years ago when I worked at the End, we did a contest called Perfect Strangers where we took random people and created a band. And the whole premise of the story was you got someone that could sing, someone could play bass. And these were all people that legitimately could play, but they've never played together. And we gave them, I think, a week to write a couple of songs, and then they performed it at, it used to be a radio station festival show called Board This or Board Stiff.
Yeah, it changed names.
It was at the summit at Snoqualmie.
I remember that.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. Those are, Deftones played, Cypress Hills played, Blink-182, Zebra had some great bands that played, Saliva. Like I said, a bunch of other great bands. No, I like Saliva. I'm kidding. They were good guys. But a bunch of really cool bands played that, and we had Perfect Strangers, Silverchair. I remember those guys killed it at that show.
Really?
And we had Perfect Strangers was one of the bands. Mike was the drummer. He won the drummer slot for this band, and it was right. That's when I first, I think, started getting to know Windowpane.
Yep.
Was through Mike, and they used your practice space, if I remember correctly.
They rehearsed in our rehearsal space, and then Mike had built a studio into our rehearsal space down there at Hush Studios, which is now gone. But he also recorded and mixed all the demos of Perfect Strangers.
It was fun.
And I remember he really battled because at the time it was popular to have a DJ in rock bands. And Perfect Strangers had a DJ.
That's right. I forgot
and
about that.
He was a nice guy, but he wasn't very good at it. So here's poor Mike trying to mix this and and he'd be like, oh God.
It was.
And he really struggled with making that sound okay in the mix. And he had to shift it and move it and shift it because it was all out of time and out of pocket.
Square peg into a super round hole.
Yeah, you know. Like, that's why I remember that so well because I remember going down, hey, Mike, how's it going? And he's just sitting
not
there.
Not good.
He's got his head in his hands, like, man, he's such a nice guy. He's just not very good at this. And he, you know, it wasn't on meter. It wasn't in the pocket.
No.
It was just random. Wiki, wiki, wiki.
Oh, real quick, Rev, the phone might be ringing for a cue ball. I think I saw. It was the top number, the first one on that?
Yeah.
Oh, crap. That was us. Oh, he's supposed to call in 1 minute.
Okay.
But he's a part of the Sublime crew that we'll be talking to. Yeah, the Perfect Strangers thing was a really fun project.
Yeah. And I remember seeing footage of all that.
Yeah,
Mike, I think that was
awesome.
How we all crossed each other's paths.
It was that or the Fighting Machinists. I remember going to see the Fighting Machinists.
They rehearsed at Hush
and
as well.
You guys played with them in the U District. At some really small bar.
Was that little club where the bookshelf folded down and became the stage? Man, what was that place
called? It was a Murphy stage.
What was that place called? I remember those shows. That was how I met those guys.
It was near the movie theater. If I remember correctly.
It was right there on U Ave.
Yeah, but it wasn't like next to like the Wing Dome or all the fun stuff.
It was
like the next
Rupert's, was it?
I don't remember. I'll be honest.
Sounds like
it'd
be called Rupert's.
Rupert's. You got to roll the R, right?
But Glenn's not S-ing you guys, man. It was a Murphy stage.
The bookshelf folded down, and that was the stage.
What happened to the books?
And you could maybe, I don't know.
There were no books. They were fake.
Dude, it was like Wayne Manor. That particular shelf wasn't real.
Is this the guy?
I don't know. Could it be Q-Ball?
Yeah. All right, well, let's find out.
Okay. Hey, this is KSW.
Hey, that's not Castle, but man, I feel sorry for you, though.
Okay. Ah, what's going on with you?
Oh, you remember Jim Plunkett?
No.
Jim Plunkett was a football quarterback. Well, you're sitting in one of them Santa cans out in them woods where they're like in a national park and they got that big, huge hole dug.
This is
you take a Jim Plunkett.
Oh, Rev took a big Jim Plunkett earlier.
I did.
What time is it? What happened? What world am I in?
You just crossed into the vortex. It's 6 a.m. all over again, brother. Actually, no, we're just we're doing a podcast, and we entered the call because Castle, I don't know why.
Castle's
taking a Jim Plunkett right now.
Fortunately, we have a hands-free phone, so I can talk to you while I'm taking my Jim Plunkett.
But, are you taking a dump right now?
No, I'm done. I'm out on the porch in the sun with my bear.
Oh, good. Well, my man's good talking to you. What's your name?
I don't know if I want to. Well, this is Mouse, so there you go.
What's your social security number, dude?
Hey, try calling back in a couple minutes and Castle will answer, I promise.
Love you, Mouse.
Oh, man, I got goosebumps after that one. Okay.
Take care, friend.
See, that's the problem is the top lines are there, just the normal line.
Oh, he's going to call the hotline.
That's okay, okay, I'll keep an eye on those ones then. I'm like, I was like,
dude, Q-Ball's really pumped to talk to us. Wow. Like, this guy's stoked.
Oh, I love Mouse.
Dude, it's funny, too, hearing him. Oh. It also triggered a little something in my head.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, never mind.
All right.
I'm never telling you guys the story.
All right, we'll think about it someday. You ready?
Yep. Hey, this is KSW.
Hi, Q-Ball calling in.
Q-Ball! Hey, what's going on, man?
What's happening?
Oh, nothing, man. We're excited that you're coming to town and being a part of this whole Lion Pride show that's happening with the Long Beach Rehab.
Nice. It's going to be fun.
So I have to ask first off, I have a bunch of questions, but this is probably the dumbest question. I'm looking at the picture of you, and how many hours did you spend getting your head tattooed?
I'm such a sissy sometimes, man. No, the first time, about 7.5 hours over, I split it up, you know.
Yeah.
The top of my head, it was forehead and the cheek, you know, cheek areas, they hurt. But the top of my head, you know, there's like no skin there.
Yeah.
You know? And the needle kept vibrating. The needle was hitting my bone.
Oh.
And so he had to keep changing the needle because it was dulling. And I'm like, man, am I going to get like bone chips are going to get in and clog my and heart, excuse my language, you know, do something. So, but, so then someone says, cause, man, it hurt. And then someone says, take a couple of these, you know, and it was like some Percocets. And I don't really do that
stuff. We're just inking your skull. Literally. We're going through the skin to ink your skull, bro. So take two of these.
I'm growing up over the tattoo shop. Yeah. Wow, man. It's like, I'm just dusted. So it kind of sucked, man.
Yeah, dude. I love that. Like, it sucks so bad that you're like, I don't even know what you're giving me, but I'm willing to take the chance on it.
Yeah. It was all bad.
And you puked all over the tattoo shop.
Myself.
So
yeah.
It wasn't like into a can. It was like everywhere.
No, I was so sick. I can't. I'm one that I can't. You know, I never did good with those type of drugs.
I can relate. I can relate.
A shot of NyQuil will kill me for a day and a half. So I was, you know, I was the opposite. You know, I mean, you know, Brad used to do. Obviously, everybody knows what he did, and he loved it. But man, I can't do the that kind of stuff. So. But so pills are all bad for me.
Do you find that a lot of people are like, you know, sometimes, even though nowadays I feel like we're in 2018, people have tattoos, but still to this day, even with me, I have like two sleeves. I don't have any tattoos on my head, but sometimes people look at me with a little like, oh, okay, like, you know, like I'm not an intimidating person, but I think the tattoos give off that vibe. Do you have a lot of instances where you're like, you meet someone and they're like, man, I was afraid to talk to you for the longest time, but, you know, just judging from the last 20 seconds talking to you, you're a blast to chat with. But I would imagine some people are like, I don't want to talk to this guy. He's got tattoos all over his head and face.
Well, yeah, it's weird because, especially in today's world, you think that's normal almost, you know?
Yeah.
So, but I'll have people that will, you know, because wherever we're at, if we're walking around or if we're in a mall or something, people will go, they'll come to me and I can see that they're trying to, but they're scared. And then some will just finally go, are you the, and I said, yeah. They go, oh my God, I love your band, but wow, you know? So, I mean, I think that it's kind of, my daughter's kind of like it because they say it keeps people away from us, you know. So,
dude, I don't know if you remember, but I remember growing up, the one guy that was iconic for having a tattoo on his skull was Bam Bam Bigelow, the old wrestler. Do you remember that dude?
Oh yeah.
He had the flames.
People told me that I remind him of him.
Yeah, it's very, very reminiscent, the style of the tattoo. And I was like, that's pretty badass. As a wrestling fan, I was like, that's freaking cool.
Yeah. There's a lot of them now lately. I noticed a lot of the Hispanic gangsters, a lot of the 18th Street and people like that in L.A. are getting a lot of whole head pieces and stuff. So, but I got mine, I don't know, about 10 years ago now. So, and I've added on here and there. Yeah. So, but yeah, it hurts.
Yeah. Let's chat about Long Beach Rehab. I mean, you mentioned Brad, obviously Brad from Sublime from back in the day, and you've been a part of the Sublime family for the longest time. Let's go back and like share with everyone your history with Sublime and your experiences with them. If you have any favorite stories or fun memories from just a band that it's crazy. I remember falling in love with them, but by the time so many people on the mainstream level fell in love with the band couldn't do anything because Brad unfortunately left us.
Right. Yeah. His time was too quick, man. Yeah. And that happens to the best of them, you know. So, but you know, there's not really a whole lot I can say. You know, there's I've been trying to keep all the Sublime stuff out of my topics lately. So,
gotcha.
there's been so much tarnished. There's a lot, you know. There used to be, look at all the love we found, you know, and mm-hmm. that's what it was all about. And then, you know, it just kind of, it turned a little weird when different people had started up different projects.
Gotcha.
And there's a lot of issues between the band members. We'll just put it that way.
Okay.
So,
but, another documentary.
Yeah, well, that's what, yeah, there's a big one coming out. So, but, you know, I can say, you know, we're coming out, you know, we bust up one hell of a set of songs. You know, Long Beach Rehab has had so many different people in the band. You know, it started out, I started the band, I don't know how many years ago, and we stopped doing, Sublime. We were doing Rolling Around, Sublime, LBC, and Sublime or Rome wanted to get together and do their thing, and we were kind of the competition. So we all came to an agreement, and we kind of opened up the road so Sublime and Rome could go do their thing. You know, it's a give and take of what people think of how they've done it. You know, I really don't pay attention to what they do, so I'm not going to say that they're doing a great job or they're doing a bad job. It's just not my place to say. But I put Long Beach Rehab together then, and started out. It was members. We've had members from Fishbone, the singer Israel Joseph, who is the second singer for the Bad Brains, did the Rise album with Bad Brains. Had him for quite a while. Greg Camp, the creator, singer, I mean, songwriter, you know, sing guitar player for Smash Mouth. Ivan, drummer of White Zombie. Different members from Sublime. We've had, members of Offspring. Now we got Raj, who was the original drummer from Green Day, and he's on the new Green Day movie coming out. He's drumming with us now. We got Danny from Tribal Siege. So the band has just had so many different people in the band. So on this tour that we're doing, especially up in the Washington area, we've got a lot of different little surprises each night. Little different guests are coming up and doing different things. And so it's just kind of a wide variety of music. We're going to play all the Long Beach stuff everybody wants to hear, all the good hits from the LBC. And then we've got, we'll bust out a couple, you know, if we got a member from Green Day in the band, of course, we're going to bump out a couple Green Day songs and so on and so on.
What's your favorite Green Day song to play?
You know, they just called me last night and said, have you learned these? Have you played any Green Day songs yet? I said, God, I better get on with the shows for a couple days.
I can relate to that. I can absolutely relate to that.
He goes, you're so goddamn stuck up. I go, no, I'm not stuck up. I just forgot, bro.
I can understand that, too.
On the go forward, just be like, man, it's coming together great, and honestly, I love them all.
You know, dude. I told him, I said, you pick, man. You pick. Tell me what song to play. Just trust me. I'll have it.
That is awesome.
The only one that was like, the only problem we have is Danny from Tribal Seeds, because the singer of Tribal Seeds is, you know, I don't know the singer of Tribal Seeds. My buddy who's been my singer for quite a while, Levi knows him real well. He plays in Tribal Seeds. He's a band member currently. And the Tribal Seeds singer won't allow anybody to advertise or do any of their songs. You know, not that we wanted to do a Tribal Seeds song, but he's like, he won't allow anybody to say, you're from this band. You know? Yeah. Like, I didn't even get it, but, it's cool. So
it's a bummer sometimes when like art becomes... Some people get a little bit more obsessed about the business side and maybe aren't thinking just about the fact that, you know what, we're all just celebrating music, whatever it may be. Let's kind of put the business side to let the business people handle the business stuff. And let's just be artists and have some fun and create and celebrate music.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And that's how Bradley was. Bradley was the most friendliest, nicest. That guy, I swear to God, he was a loss to the world, not just for his talent, but for himself, the genuine person he was. I had a club in Long Beach that was part owner of called Fender's Ballroom. It was the punk rock capital of L.A. for years, man, and it held almost 3,000 people. But it was right downtown where all the people shooting each other out in front and everything. And we had these offices that we had on the side with a glass door facing like Linden Street, and we'd be in there partying and doing bad things, till 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And I swear to God, there's Bradley, he was there a lot, all of a sudden, where'd he go? And we'd see out the glass door, and he'd walked out the glass door with a bottle of wine from our bar and sat out there with a homeless black woman in her probably 70s and shared it with her, just talking and talking. And that's the kind of person that was just, he was just an incredible person. So,
what was it like?
And that's what all this. What's that? Go ahead.
I was going to say, what was it like? Just because one of my favorite things of his music was when it was just him, like some of the CDs when I listened to it, it's just him and the acoustic guitar. What was that like to be there just to kind of be, I would love to have gone back in time to be able to witness him just do an acoustic set.
Yeah. I'll tell you another quick story to answer that. When I first met him, it was at Fender's. I'm not Eric. I'm not the one who went to school with him and all that. So this must have been in 87, 88. I think he just got back from college. He was up in Northern California, I think Santa Cruz, doing some classes. And, I booked all the shows at Fender's. And I was there every day in my office. So everybody wanted to know me because I wanted to put him on the shows, And this kid would come in. He'd always come with acoustic guitar. Looked like it came from a thrift shop. Barefooted, shorts, no shirt, sometimes, or tennis shoes. And he'd come in. He was always drunk. And he always wanted to, I thought he wanted to, audition for me or something, And I'm like, well, okay. And he wanted his band to play. I forget who it was playing one night. But he had somehow gotten through the place into the back. And I go, there's that kid again, because he's 2 years younger than me. And he was saying something. I just wanted to go, and all of a sudden he pukes on me. I'm like, are you serious, bro? So I'm in the bathroom in my office washing up, and I hear, when I turn the water off, I hear him. I go, God, he's still here. He's out there playing. So he's sitting on my desk, and he's playing his acoustic guitar and singing, and I thought, oh, what the f-? Excuse my language again. I'm like, wow, listen to this guy. It was incredible. I mean, he was doing something I hadn't heard. Yeah. Something just totally just something that no one had heard. And it's almost like he took a little bit of like the Police and the Beatles and Bob Marley and then hooked it all together. So it was kind of strange. But to answer your question, he was an awesome entertainer. So he was just completely awesome.
And Q-Ball, you have now been the first person to ever share two vomit stories in one interview, which I think is fantastic.
That's punk rock, baby.
Hell yeah. Well, Long Beach Rehab is going to be over with Lion Pride Music. A lot of great stuff. If you just go to Lion Pride Music's Facebook page, it starts November 26th, going through December 1st. Plenty of opportunities here in the Northwest to be able to check you guys out. Man, it's been an absolute treat getting to chat with you, my brother.
Hey, we'll see you next week.
Yes. Awesome.
See you soon.
Take care, man.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks, guys. See ya. Bye.
Yeah, man.
I like that he apologized, but probably cursed just as much as Raj.
No, he did not.
Two F-bombs, right?
Yeah, it was, no, three F-bombs.
Oh.
He slid one in there and an S-bomb, but he did not beat Raj. Raj had seven swears, and he Q-ball only had four.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Wait, let me apologize and still put in another three curse words.
And it was like, yeah, the first time he apologized, I'm like, all right, he knows what's up. And then a couple more slipped out. I mean, come on, it's the punk rock lifestyle. I'm okay with it.
I love that.
Wait until we get DJ Yella on the line.
Oh, jeez. What's up, mother effers?
Wait, the hip hop comes in.
My playback of the cast is broken, man. There was like an 8.5 minute beat.
Beep. So each interview is just
That's the whole DJ Yella interview.
Then you hear Steve go, thanks a lot, man.
DJ Yella, everybody. It's been a pleasure getting to talk to you. That was awesome, man. That guy's got, I could tell he's got some fun stories. And I didn't realize that there is drama in that Sublime camp because there's these guys doing stuff and then there's those guys doing stuff as well.
Yeah, way to open up a little bit, man.
Yeah.
He does. He's got tons of stories. You really got to come out to the show and come hang out and come smoke on the bus with us and then you'll get him to talk.
Look for the guy with the skull tattoo and bring a bucket just in case he needs to puke. I could never do the skull tattoo. I think I would just be...
No, he's talking about it like...
terrifying.
The needle being dulled on his actual skull.
Well, that's what I wanted to get into because, like, it's one of those things, like, fast forward 150 years from now, if you were to dig up his bones...
Divots?
Would that ink... No. I'm thinking, the skull is fully inked.
Actually inked.
That's funny.
Dude, that's terrifying.
No, I'm thinking more
are you sure that's him? Oh, yeah, that's him.
I'm thinking more of someone who has, like, a heavy hand when they write, and then you go to a couple pages past that, and there's still the indent. Take the pencil and kind of... So you just take a pencil to his skull, and you can see what the tattoos were.
Right, exactly. Do a charcoal rubbing.
Oh, dear.
So, again, this all starts, Monday, November 26th in Tacoma. There's a private super sessions party. And then Tuesday in Bellingham on the 27th. Wednesday in Arlington on the 28th. Oh, Scoblins are playing.
Yeah.
I know Josh. Josh is an awesome dude.
Scoblins are awesome. I saw them live.
Yeah. Josh is a part of our Meltdown crew.
He's badass. There you go.
He's an awesome, awesome dude, and his band is great. If you love ska music, obviously, they're called the Scoblins. That'd be funny if they're like, no, we don't play any ska music.
We're mostly polka.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm in. Yeah, so let's do it. Right.
That's in Arlington.
I got my clods.
November 28th. The 29th in Bremerton, the 30th in Port Angeles, and then Saturday, December 1st at the J&M Cafe in Seattle, which I know you're doing more stuff with the J&M.
We are, yeah. Lion Pride's got the booking contract down there, so we're going to try to get Pioneer Square rocking a little bit more again. And
bring it back to life.
Bring it back to life a little bit, hopefully.
Someone needs to defibrillate the square, man. You'll do it. I have faith in you, brother.
Bring back the joint cover.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right?
That was cool.
That's right.
That's what everybody talks about. I'm like, I'm not even going to try to take that back on.
No. Levi's like, hey, look, man, one mountain at a time, okay? Thanks. You know, yeah.
And they pride themselves for just not having cover at all, right? We're just trying to just put on shows. We actually
had
a little bit of a budget to pay some of the bands down
there. Oh,
that's
great, man. That's
great. Definitely looking for bands to approach us to get a gig and bring your fans out and let's have a fun time.
Yeah, J&M's a cool spot, man. I mean, it's been a long time ago, but I did some really, really fun shows there and attended a bunch as well.
Absolutely. We used to do some events there from
really
back
cool
in the day.
It's a really cool place, man.
Our opening day parties.
Oh, gosh, remember? Yeah, that's right.
We had like mashed potato wrestling there, I think, Jello wrestling. No, the mashed potato wrestling was at FX McCrory's.
Yeah.
And then they banned us because some of the mashed potatoes ended up on like their projection screens.
Ooh.
Yeah, and
that was expensive.
It left a stain.
It wasn't the worst wrestling that we ever did. I think the worst one was the hot dogs, ketchup, and mustard.
That was baseball.
Yeah, that was baseball, and it was an opening day. And the problem with it is the way that you're looking, Glenn. I think you can understand.
I can picture a lot of problems.
Here's the
man.
Deal: mustard is a spicy condiment, and
I'm picturing blind people.
Well, that and also
screaming bloody murder
when there are rock girls wrestling in bikinis, that tends to be problems with orifices and spicy things getting
in there.
Yeah.
The hot taco challenge.
Yeah. You guys didn't have a gynecologist on staff that day?
I don't believe we did.
He came in sick that day.
That's a bit of a planning fail.
Yeah. So that was fun.
Those were the days at the J&M camp.
Those were the days.
That's awesome, brother, man.
They used to have nude things there, too, I guess, way back in the day.
What?
Also. That's because there's a big painting up there of a naked lady at the J&M cafe. Uh-huh. It's from, I don't know, from Prohibition, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And it's still up there. And I actually
not surprised, because
that's in the back room. When when you go all the way back to the back.
Is that's right, where is the, it right, like,
no, not the painting. I mean, that's what transpired back there, back turn of the century.
Oh, the back room.
They go back, play cards, and, you know, Brunhilde would give you a lap dance. Yeah, Brunhilde, bring me my ale.
Also, if people want more information, they can just text you LPMTV at 95577.
Yep.
Lots of cool stuff. But before we go to the voicemails, emails, and text messages, your mom, Linda, is here. She's had plenty of time to just kind of think things through.
Brought mama into work day for her birthday.
Mom,
happy birthday, Mom.
What's the most embarrassing or fun story you could share with us about your son, Levi Lyon?
I was enjoying the show so much, I didn't even think about it.
I have a pretty good one if you can't think of one.
Which one do you have?
I have the one where you took me to church and I was drunk.
Church. Oh, no. Well, yeah. He didn't want to get up and go to school that one day, and I brought the garden hose in.
Wait, you sprayed him with a garden hose?
That's probably our favorite story. A lot of people know about that one.
That was kind of the beginning of my promotion years. Like, I remember I just dropped out of high school, and I was like, all right, Mom, I found my new career. I'm going to be a party promoter. And I came home with a big fat wad of cash in my pocket. And Mom was like, you got to wake up. You're going to go to church. I'm like, no way, man. I feel like crap.
Super church.
Was
I'm
that
a promoter.
The day I brought the hose in?
And you brought the hose in. And you squirted me down. I was like, all right, well, I guess I gotta go take a shower, change my clothes. And I put my favorite shirt at the time was my Rob Zombie shirt.
And you wore that to church.
Yeah, went to church. On the back, it says Satan is my co-pilot on the back.
Oh,
right?
Yeah,
like, I'm gonna show Mom, right? I'll give her a hard time. Take me to church, make me go when I don't want to go.
Wear whatever you think is best.
I'm sure some of the people who are sitting behind you are like, what's going on here?
I did. I passed out at the front pew. We sat at the very front of the church.
Oh, nice,
and it
Mom.
Took about halfway through church before I woke up with just getting ripped out by my ear out of church. Right? I think she did tear a little bit of the back of it.
No, I never did anything like that.
Well, in all fairness, I mean, I don't wear a Satan as my co-pilot shirt, but I still fall asleep at church, and my wife is never happy about it. It's gotten to the point where my mom.
Your mom?
She acts like my mom in these situations.
Yeah.
She brings fruit snacks and lifesavers.
I used to fall asleep in church, too. It's just the thing you do.
It is.
I felt so bad after that.
Just dreaming about Jesus.
Yeah, I think I burned that shirt after that moment, I think.
Well, it's awesome having you in. I know you brought us a really cool Seahawks lamp fixture.
Well, I've been working with this lady. Her name's Courtney. She lives in Twin Falls, Idaho.
Yeah.
And she actually owns Infinity Lamps.
Uh-huh.
And so I've been working with her for 9 years.
I see these in different places.
That is cool.
And they're like, how do you even describe what these are?
They're called quadrilateral shapes. So it's like an old geometry shape that's shaped, you know, like a rectangle slanting sideways. And they've got little locks on the corners. And
so
I can
build these crazy shapes.
Yeah, I've got 40 colors you can mix and match. And
that is so cool.
People come to my booth, pick out their favorite colors, and then I put it together.
So where can people find out more information about this? Like, where can they find out what booths you're at or whatever? Oh, that looks really
freaking cool. That is so cool.
Awesome. That's badass. Perfect for a man cave. Rich is modeling it.
My next event is going to be in Enumclaw at the Holiday Festival. It's in the Enumclaw Expo.
Cool.
That's this next weekend.
And just look for the cool, funky-looking lamps.
Yeah. My booth lights up really well. Infinity lamps.
Infinity lamps. That's very cool. And that's Linda Lyon. And I know you said you brought cougar colors.
I did. I brought some cougar, some husky, and some seahawk with me. And I brought a white one that has a light bulb that changes colors.
Ooh. Perfect for late night parties.
Yeah, right.
Right, I know.
For the DJ who's not on cue.
If you put together a cougar one, we got to hook up Taryn with
that. Yeah, Taryn will
love
that.
She is a diehard cougar fan.
Nice. Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thank you. That's very cool. So, we have Rich here, and we'll grab the mic back for Glenn. And Rich has a mic right there for you.
Yeah, great.
I want to say hi to Rich because Rich is my dude. He's the guy who takes us to and from Spokane very safely. And this is the first time we've had you on the podcast, right?
No, I was on another one, but I'm just kind of a fly on the wall.
Okay. I wanted you to share any favorite memories of the donkey trips to Spokane.
Since
most of us don't remember them.
Donkey trips.
Well, we did have one last year, or 2 years ago. We had a new bus, and it was all black. And I normally take these guys out. Now, you got to remember, I pick them up at about 9 o'clock Friday morning. They start drinking and doing other things, and they have to play a hockey game that night. And one of their guys found a breathalyzer. And if you didn't blow a .08, they wouldn't even let you on the ice. So you had to be hammered to get on the ice.
I think that was
so anyway,
Munson.
Now I'm taking them out Friday night after all this, and the big black bus, and somebody wrote something prison hockey team on there on the side of the bus. And so we're parked right downtown in Spokane, and one of the guys is up there. I look at him an hour later. He's rubbing this off on the bus. He goes, "No girls are going to want to come on a prison bus." And I go, "A prison hockey team?" That was, what's his name?
Probably Gibbs.
No.
Heaney.
Heaney.
Yes.
He's wiping off with his shirt. Yeah,
I of course chicks, it's Heaney.
Yeah, he needs a guy who likes, you know, he's the heartthrob of the donkeys.
Oh,
yeah,
the heartthrob.
Yes. So. He's got muscles and everything.
Oh, God.
He hasn't fully fallen off, like, you know, letting himself go yet.
No, that's right. But it's always fun. The donkeys are the funnest group of guys. I look forward to it. I really look forward to it every year.
We look forward to it as well. It's always a blast. And you somehow keep us together. It's
alive. Amazing.
We've never lost a member.
Magical Easter weekend.
We've tried. We've had members try very hard.
Well, you tried really
myself
hard.
Included, but somehow we never get lost.
Well, there's one more story.
Okay.
A couple years ago,
oh boy,
the captain, I didn't know these guys when I first get them. They're passing a water bottle around. I found out it's Fireball.
Oof.
So then, I can't remember, second or third game, the captain, he gets on the ice for his skate, and he trips, and he slides clear across the ice and bashes his head on the far side. He gets up, shakes his hand, trips again, comes all the way back to the bench, gets on the bench, and passes out. That was his whole shift.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I can't remember which one that was. Maybe that was Munson, too.
Was Munson.
It sounds like Munson. It sounds like Munson.
You had multiple pucks coming at you at the same time.
Yeah.
Between the
lines. I was seeing triple. So yeah. Even every time one puck was coming at me, I saw three of them. That was awesome.
That's it. Well, that's not it. But,
all right. Why don't we jump into our voicemails, emails, and text messages?
All right.
I just wanted to say, Steve's run out of pucks to give.
Thank you for using the P word there.
Sorry, yeah.
If it was wrong, I don't want to bleep that one.
I just want to see if Rev's trigger finger was on point, man.
Yeah, I got a finger for you.
Oh, I bet you do.
By the way, Ziggy does weddings now, everyone.
Oh, speaking of Ziggy. Do you ever have that moment before we get to the story about Ziggy where your wife says, just got here, and you have no idea where here is?
Did she hear?
What's great is when you get the message after that says, sorry, wrong person.
Oh. Good point. Like I almost be like, where is here? Is it the gym? Is it, she does, I think she goes with her mom somewhere on Tuesday. I don't know what here is, but I want to risk being diming myself out that I wasn't listening properly.
Just reply where? Question mark.
Oh, I just reply with a bunch of heart emojis.
Oh, total win.
Yeah. That's the best way. When all else fails, just send emojis.
Yeah, that's right.
Has that ever happened to you guys where you're just like, I don't even know what you're talking about?
I always straight up, I'm like, honey, I think just last night I was like, I'm sorry, baby, I was doing math. I lost everything mid-sentence. And she was like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm like, no, don't be sorry. I was listening, but I'm multitasking badly. So I just pretty much out myself instantly.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I'm like, I heard the front half of everything you said. The last two sentences, I didn't hear a word you said. Can you repeat that for me?
I was looking at you, but I wasn't registering.
It was a Pink Floyd thing. Your lips were moving, but I can't hear what you're saying.
See, my wife will try to test me on those sort of things, but I've gotten pretty good at the mostly listening.
So you could kind of piece it together.
So yeah, I'll piece it together for the most part. And she got kind of mad about that because I would actually start being able to recite exactly what she was saying.
Oh,
so
that pisses her off.
Yeah, so she basically stopped doing that. And I still try to listen to her for the most part. And so I don't have to worry about it as much.
It was a similar thing where Tawny tested me. She was talking about something and thought I had zoned out or was multitasking badly or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And she ended her sentence by, I think I'm going to shave my head, paint it red, and go by the name Chicken from now on. And immediately I was like, I like Chicken. I think Chicken's kind of cute. I'll call you Chicken from now on. And so that actually has stuck to this day.
Is that her pet name?
No. But from time to time, she'll send me a little message that says Chicken Loves. And that's a reference to that joke going back like 4 years. Because, she tried that on me. And I was like, I'll call you Chicken. I think that's kind of cute. Well, she was like,
When all else fails, just send out the chicken emojis if you don't know what you're saying.
For a while, we were sending each other little chicken emojis. And
Sounds like you kind of want the chicken.
The chicken?
Yeah, chicken? The rooster.
Do you guys have weird pet names?
I call her Honeybee a lot.
Honeybee.
Yeah, that's about it.
Bean, we call each other Bean.
Yeah, I don't think she has one for me. I mean, it's probably some muttering under her breath, but that's about it.
Mine's just pain in the ass. No, I'm kidding. That's hers for me.
Her pet name for you is Steven.
Right? And hers is just Sweetie or Babe or Hon.
I think the origins of Bean, I think I was making hemorrhoid jokes.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
I was all like, yeah, lick my bean.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
My
dirty, smelly bean. And somehow that stuck to, you know, love you, Bean.
Hers for me is Mr. Magoo.
Mr. Magoo.
Or Chipotle Magoo, which is like, I don't know if I want to be compared to a blind.
Is that only
old
during
cartoon
sex
character? Yeah, right.
Yeah, it sounds like more to be like a sex move or something.
That's
like,
not designed to make you feel nice.
No, so it's just like my Magoo, and I'm like,
why? Like when? Like
I don't know.
Do you run into things?
Sure.
Okay, I'm just like trying to like. Like do you walk into the middle of traffic? Do you squint a lot?
I don't even know if she's ever even seen Mr. Magoo. If it was just a word that came out, she thought it sounded funny.
Yeah,
I
well,
don't
it does
know.
Kind of sound funny.
But I'm Mr. Magoo to her.
It's okay, man.
Mr. Magoo
yeah.
was
yeah.
rich, though, wasn't he?
What's that?
I think he was rich.
Oh, well, then she's completely mistaken.
She's very confused. Yeah.
Well, you're in the same ballpark as Leslie Nielsen. He did play Mr. Magoo.
Oh, that's great.
And he's
they
dead.
made a live action Magoo film?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that.
Yeah.
Sheesh.
I think at least.
Boy, and we say nowadays they've run out of content.
I'm telling you, dude. Well, Bob, to be honest, the Magoo film got made, but I'm still a greeter at Walmart. I mean, what am I doing wrong?
Yep, it was. Leslie Nielsen, it came out in 90.
It grossed like $300 million.
Yeah, 97. $21 million in the box office. With a budget.
97?
Yeah, with a budget of $30 million.
Oh.
Not a winner.
Somebody took a hit.
How did they convince Hollywood to drop $30 million on that movie?
Dude.
Who's in it?
Leslie Nielsen.
Okay.
Jennifer Garner.
Oh,
really?
She had to be a kid.
Yeah, I think maybe.
She was trying to recover
97?
From that Electra movie.
Oh,
a bit
man.
Of a debacle there.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, and whenever people are like, dude, that's a crap movie, like, do you not understand I was in Mr. Magoo? Like,
what do you think? Okay, let's play Price is Right here with the Rotten Tomatoes score.
Oh, okay, I'm in.
Yeah. So what do you think it was? Steve, go ahead and start.
Rotten Tomatoes score from the critics?
From the critics.
6%.
Okay, and Glenn.
I'm going to go, because they do 1 to 100.
Yes, they do.
Tomatoes. I'm going to shoot in the 20s. Let's say 24.
Well, you would be wrong. And Steve, you were the closest without going over 7%.
Whoa!
7%.
They were pretty underwhelmed.
Wow. Yeah.
Leslie Nielsen's just laughing all the way to the bank. What's like, that? I don't care if you hate me.
Oh, man.
I got 2.3 mil.
Ernie Hudson was in this movie.
Oh.
You may remember him from
Ghostbusters. And The Crow.
What's the user rating on that? Does it have one?
Yes. Would you like to play the Price is Right game as well? All right, Steve, since you did win the last round.
14%.
And Glenn.
Oh, man. I'm going to say that people, on the whole, liked it more than critics.
Yeah.
So let's say, again, I'll shoot for 24-25%.
Oh, give me one of those numbers.
25.
Oh, without going over, it is 24%.
No way!
Oh, yes. I said 24? No, you said 14.
Yes!
That's why I had to make sure with Glenn. So, yeah,
wow.
Your first guess, 24. Yeah, 24%.
I want to check out, here's the trailer.
Nailed it, but couldn't save myself.
Coming soon to own on video cassette.
Oh!
Remember those?
It's a Disney film.
It was the worst jewel heist in history.
Ah!
And the only witness to the crime didn't see a thing. Now,
Mr. Magoo
is going undercover. But he doesn't have a clue.
Magoo is going down!
I want you to put some water on the boil and lift both legs high into the air. And sand that sucker smooth.
Nice and upbeat.
I have a surprise.
So do I.
Not bad.
This is,
you won't believe,
confusing.
Yeah,
just listening to it.
Yeah, was that the video?
Your eyes.
Hungry. Is he choking a chicken?
I've never seen.
Is that Jason Alexander?
I didn't see him on the list.
No.
Ooh, I've got a
strike.
He's like the dude from Tribal Seeds. He's like, I'll be in this movie, Disney, but don't tell anyone who I am.
That is bad, man.
Here's the thing. If you took away that upbeat music and put like Friday the 13th music in there, all those sound effects and everything I heard basically would just turn into a horror still movie, works. Like a slasher.
I hereby vow that on our little vacation, we have 2 weeks off, right?
We all watch it.
Yeah, you guys all want to watch it?
I'll watch it.
I was going to commit to it.
I'm in.
Tawny still keeps trying to get me to watch Grease, too.
I've been watching some terrible TV lately.
I won't do it, man.
Come on, man. Dude. Gonna bowl tonight.
You actually know a song from Grease, too.
Oh, my God. I know more than one. Oh. Let's do it for our country.
I'd rather go see a large-knuckled proctologist than sit through that film, man.
Ah, Keith Richards, huh?
Yeah.
Dude,
I'm Dr. Keith. Let's see what's going on in there, Mike. Hey, hold me cigarette. You know?
Bro, I love the YouTube reviews or the YouTube comments. One person goes, guys, Mr. Magoo is not blind. He's just extremely nearsighted.
Oh, God.
One person writes, looks moronic.
Mr. Moronic?
I feel so bad for Leslie Nielsen that he actually had a star in this POS. And I feel even worse for blind people that they have this film to represent them as if they're stupid like this film portrays them.
It's on HBO now.
Whoever wrote this film should have read the Daredevil comics to learn how the story of a blind man should be done.
No doubt. No doubt.
This is such an enjoyable and funny trailer for such a horrendously awful film. Worst movie ever by Disney.
Oh, so the director, Stanley Tong, has done some other amazing movies such as
oh, I bet.
Kung Fu Yoga, Police Story 3 Super Cop, which is actually a great Jackie Chan movie, and then also Rumble in the Bronx. So he's done a couple
Rumble
of
in the
good
Bronx
things.
Was cool.
Yeah,
Rumble
he's done a
Bronx
couple of
cool.
really good ones, but then the translation over there is not so good.
Rumble in the Bronx, what's that, like 80 or 81?
It was something like that, and I loved it because New York... well, they didn't film it in New York. They filmed it in Vancouver. So,
oh,
Vancouver is the backdrop for what should be
New
the
York.
Bronx.
Rumble in the Bronx, eh?
What's that all about?
Hey, so I mentioned Ziggy. He sent us a text, 253-271-4787. Hey, Migs Cavs, it's official. I'm a dad.
Whoa.
My boy
Whoa.
Born. Well, wow, this is from
Congrats,
yesterday.
Man.
Congratulations.
November 12th at 9:43 p.m.
It's a Magoo.
No name yet, but holy F nards, this kid is...
Oh, we should get to name him.
I agree. This kid has huge hands. Love you all from Ziggy. Oh, if he has huge hands, he's going to be Russell Wilson.
He's going to be a crime fighter.
Yes. What do we want to name him?
Ooh.
Kind of like how we're like hand Hans.
Hans.
Ooh, Hans.
Hans.
Yeah.
Hans.
All yeah. right, there we go.
H-A-N-D-Z.
Yes.
Hans.
Hans. Hans. G-H Hans.
How about H-A? Oh, yeah. Hans, but the G and the D are silent. So it's
yes.
G-H-A-N-D-Z.
Yeah, Hans.
Hans. This is just to traumatize his poor teachers trying to pronounce the goddamn name.
Gahans?
Gahans?
Gahans, are you here? Gahans.
Well, football coach is like, we need that kid. He's got Gahans.
That is the episode
right,
name.
That was a stretch. I'm right sorry.
There. Gahans?
Gahans?
I shouldn't be allowed to speak anymore.
Our ideas are terrible.
You got Gahansy with me. I'm calling the cops.
You should do this.
Congratulations to Ziggy and his new boy, Gahans.
Congrats, Ziggy.
Yes, well, the Migs cast.
Ziggy, he'll do it.
Right? The Migs cast will also name your pets as well.
And it'll be way less weird than Gahans.
Yeah, send us your pictures of your pets and or babies, and we will name them.
Or everything is named Gahans.
Gahans?
My pet llama. Gahans. Gahans. What's the story behind that name? Well, Rev, Glenn,
really
and Steve are
know?
Stupid.
Yep.
Another text says, what's up, guys? I just wanted to say how much I love the new Bruiser Brody record.
Thank you.
Steve, I play the drums to it almost every day. Nice.
Cool.
They are perfect for every song. On another note, when I heard Glenn's acoustic song for Devil in the Sunshine, I contributed to the Kickstarter right after.
Oh, thanks.
Can't wait for the show on January 19th. Already bought tickets. That's our show, January 19th at the Crocodile, where Bruiser Brody is going to be celebrating our new record, Everyone's Dead, along with our friends in The Last Internationale. And they're celebrating the release of their new record, which is coming out during Christmas time, called Soul on Fire, and also our friends in the Year of the Cobra.
Nice.
Or Year of the
Celebrating
Cobra.
Their new EP, Gahans.
Gahans, yes. Coming out January 19th.
That's correct.
This guy bought the tickets. Keep up the good work, boys. Thank you very much.
Thanks,
that means a lot.
Man. Thank
that's,
you.
That's really cool. Been getting a lot of really nice comments from people that have listened to the record. So I know your wife just listened to it, too.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Yep.
She like it?
Yeah. And Wyatt and Rhiannon came over. We had dinner and jammed it, and they were stoked on it, too. Everyone,
yeah, he wrote really nice stuff about
it. Dude, people have been messaging me left, right, and center, putting up posts on Facebook, you know, like either the, I got my package, or... You know, wow.
Yeah, that's a personal thing. You don't need to share that with us.
Right? Those are the private messages. More of the public ones are, I received my Bruiser Brody CD, and it sounds great.
Dude, how crazy is this? One of the guys I grew up in my neighborhood, Nick Biokis, they were twins. He plays drums, and that's kind of what got me interested in playing drums and also wrestling. He was like an older, he was around my brother's age, and so I looked up to those guys, and they were wrestling fans, so I got into wrestling, and he was a drummer, and his big brother, Tommy, was also a drummer who ended up being my only drum teacher, so you could blame him. but I think I gave him like my allowance, $5 a lesson, and he would just show me how to do certain things on a pad and then let me play on his drum set and really just kind of gave me the initial tools to be able to learn as I went along. And
couldn't use sticks or anything on his kit though. You had to play with your
hands.
Hands. Oh, sorry, man.
Awesome. No, I love it. And so he apparently must have bought or kickstarted because he just sent me a post on my Facebook thing about how he's like,
nice.
Props to you, man, for putting on an incredible record. And I was like,
that's
cool. I meant a lot.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's kind of cool.
Killer.
He's got a, he's a big, like, he's a rock guy as well. And he introduced me to Motley Crue and all that stuff. And yeah, so I thought that was really cool. And that's all I have to say about that. We have an email.
Just a little
that's
not
all
to
I have to
about
say
Gahans.
About that. That's all I have to say about
Forrest
that.
Gahans.
I'm Forrest Gahans.
We have, so it says, hey boys, so I emailed a while ago asking to use your music in my videos for a certain website, some know as Pornhub.
Oh, okay, I was about to make that joke, I forgot.
Well, I've since run into an issue. Nobody notified me that Windows Movie Maker is no more. I don't know what to use now. What's a cheap or free, simple program that I can use for video editing?
Let me Google that for
The you. Most complicated thing I want to do is layer videos one on top of another. Are we talking about music or what are we layering?
I downloaded one called Filmmaker or something that was pretty good.
I downloaded a couple, but they're so complicated I just gave up. Also, I renamed my Instagram GreenGirl1995. Much easier to say out loud with a kissy face. And if you guys have no idea on the video, please ask the real techie people around the station. I really need something that's a user-friendly program that won't give me computer aids with a smiley face. That's nice. And that is from Alyssa.
Did you say free or cheap?
Free or cheap.
Wait. Alyssa... Alyssa's making porn and using our music.
Yeah, you remember that? She asked if she could use Bruiser Brody and Windowpane music.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. So she's, I guess, going to be using that.
Fantastic.
That's pretty cool.
There's something that also has a fitting name called openshot.org.
No, that's perfect for a porn girl.
So maybe check that out. Also, I know that a lot of people flat out just do use video editing on their iPhones and stuff.
That's what I use an app on my phone called Video Leap. I don't know if there's
a... killer stuff.
And it's all on this app. I mean, you can pay. There was a Black Friday deal. I got it for like $20. It's usually like $70.
Nice.
So it's kind of sweet. But the free version is great if you just don't have a ton of... titles you want to put on and crazy edits. Like the more stuff you do, then they're like, no, you need the advanced version.
Mm-hmm.
There's ways around that. You could do like an edit, save it, then start again, and then you kind of
The power to make a video right there in your hands.
Yeah, right in my hands. That's how I made the Leave lyrics video.
It's killer,
really.
And the upcoming music video that we're gonna have for Everyone's Dead, which is a bunch of our live footage from a show.
The videos are
Crop.
Killer, and he's doing it on his phone.
That's right. Yeah, do it all on my phone.
Sitting on the can. Doing it on the phone.
Phone in my hands, making it happen. So
phone in one hand, and
so that's what I use.
I don't
Video
know why
Leap.
That's so funny. I really don't.
It's incredible.
It's so dumb, but it really is funny.
Awesome. Hands across America. Hands across this land. I
can
love.
Make your hands clap.
I love that that Soundgarden song. Hands all over.
Hands all over.
Well, Alyssa, good luck to you. Obviously, we're not much help. But if people know of anything, maybe email us or text us. Just let us know what a good free video editing software for, I guess, a PC would be. Because if she's using a Mac, I would just use iMovie.
Yeah. iMovie's
easy.
Yeah, and iMovie comes with any sort of Apple thing that you're using.
Yep. But I mean, if you have an iPhone and you want to do it on your phone, Video Leap works really well for me.
Cool.
There you go. That's all I got for you. And there's a free version. Steve, you should check out the John Butler Trio live at Red Rocks after this last podcast. I think you'll dig them, probably because of our obsession with the Glorious Sons.
Oh.
Yeah, I'll have to check them out. I haven't yet because I just saw this, so thanks, Alex.
Let's put your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care.
All right, here's a voicemail.
What is up, Mitch, guys? This is Paul Stanley, your kid. We got Glenn Taylor on the guitar. Yeah. Peter crap, I screwed that up. Never mind. Have a happy Thanksgiving. Bye.
Stevie, I love you.
That was awesome, man.
That was great.
I love how self-defeatist he is, and we were enjoying that.
Damn, click.
Bro, I just showed Thrill and Castle and Miles. We were just making fun of Paul Stanley's in-between song banter. And I was like, have you ever seen the in-between song banter for Love Gun from the Kiss Animalize VHS that came out, of course, back when VHSs were around?
VHS video cassette.
Have you ever heard that?
No. Oh, there's a whole record called Let Me Get This Off My Chest that is nothing but Paul Stanley segues.
Oh, my God.
With no music. And it's like an hour and a half long, and it's incredible. I mean, it's really incredible.
The Animalize VHS, if you're able to get your hands on it, it's the greatest. If you just type in Kiss Animalize Love Gun Paul Stanley, this is back when they had the makeup off. And I hope that some of it we might have to bleep, Rev. But
okay, here we go. I'm ready.
This is the greatest lead up into a song ever.
People really like to party. Well, I want to tell you something. A couple of days ago, I've been partying myself, so I thought it was time to go to the doctor to get myself checked out. You know what I'm talking about?
Now, at this point, he's pointing at his wiener, so clearly he wasn't using
protection. So he had to take a cotton swab up the...
No! Yeah. Not cool.
No, it's not.
I go walking into the doctor's office. I go walking in. I got my appointment for 10:30. I go walking in. It's about 10:15. You understand?
That's right. Paul Stanley gets to.
He's always
doctor.
Early.
Yeah. I respect that. Not most rock stars are not, but he is.
Values.
I go walking in, and the doctor's not there yet. But I walk in. I see a nurse with the biggest I've seen in a long time.
His name was Chad.
78 years old, and they were hanging clear down past her belt buckle.
His name was Chad.
And I was like, come here, Miss Funbag.
Now, this girl's trying to be real cool. So I sit down, and I start reading my magazine.
She's reading Highlights. It's a very popular magazine for
Goofus
kids.
And Gallon.
Yes.
Now, she goes walking by, but she's trying to make believe that I'm not really there. She goes by me like this.
Strutting.
This is a lot of banter.
Oh, yeah.
There's not a lot of song quality, so you got to really kind of hype this stuff up.
Now, that's just rude.
Shots fired.
This is they're about to go into a very heartfelt song called Love Gun.
Right.
Excuse me.
Right.
I said, excuse me, nurse, could you come over here for me? She comes walking over to me. I said, bend down here. I got something to tell you. She bends down. I grab a hold of her real quick.
Hashtag me too.
Right. And now he's doing that, you know, when you grab yourself and you're pretending that you're being hugged by somebody and your hands are on your back. That's what he's doing at this moment because that's what he did at the doctor's office.
Right. Hashtag me too. Way to go, Paul.
Mind you, he's going to get checked on his, you know, if he has an STD.
I knew my wiener was sick, and I just wanted to pass on my sick wiener.
And you know what nurses do?
Because that's
like,
what you do.
Right, and that's what nurses do. They like to hook up with guys that come in sick, hoping that they don't have STDs. I love the crowd's like, yeah!
This is amazing!
All of a sudden, she starts to catch on. She says to me, why don't we start this examination just a little bit early?
Wow.
I said, you should see the pain in Glenn's face when that happened right there.
Yeah.
All right, she says to me, Paul, why don't you take off your shirt?
All right.
And he's taking off his shirt.
There's
right
an
now.
Arena full of grown men.
Yeah!
Thoroughly engaged by this.
Take off your shirt, Paul.
I'm just hearing the ladies screaming here, Glenn.
And he's got suspenders on.
He's wearing suspenders and some kind of kilt.
No, those are just pants with like crazy things.
So like a kilt.
Uh-oh, is he taking off his pants?
No.
All right.
Now I look at this girl. I say, honey, I'm feeling just a little bit shy.
Because I got these warts and sores all over the tip of Captain Herky.
Captain
that's why
Herky?
I'm here. Please just put some lotion on. It burns.
Now I look at this girl. I say, honey, I'm feeling just a little bit shy.
Uh-huh. That's why I'm so small right now.
I'm wearing my Levi's, my 501s, you know, those real tight ones. So she walks over, she bends down, and she undoes that little snap at the top.
Gene Simmons is like in the wings eating a sandwich. we've got a 20-minute break.
Yeah, Gene's taking
going. Gene's just over there like having a hoagie.
Wouldn't that be awesome? Like,
just getting paid to eat his sandwich. You know, life is
five
good.
More minutes, Paul. Five
when you're
more
Gene
minutes.
Simmons, life is
extend
good.
Extend it. Bring
Paul,
it out.
Keep going. Yeah, he's over there giving him the keep going sign. You know,
he's just sitting on a bucket on the side. Keep going. I gotta
keep
get
talking,
through
man.
This.
Keep talking.
It's like Paul Gene eating a sandwich and Peter's taking a dump. You gotta keep. Oh no, Eric Carr. Sorry, Eric Carr.
There you go.
They haven't revived Ace yet. We can't continue to play until they've gotten some of the booze out of his system.
This might be Bruce Kulick. I can't remember which member of Kiss is in this band at this moment. All right, here we go. So now she's unbuttoning the... I like he has the sound effects. He goes... for removing the buttons. All right, here we go.
Does the next one, she goes... next one. She opens up my pants.
Uh-oh.
She chips her hand out to make sure it's not too cold, and she sticks it down the front. And she pulls out.
And now he makes it look like he just pulled out like a fire hose.
Pastrami.
Yes. Gene Pastrami.
She pulls out my diseased penis and says, my lord, I understand why you're here.
I said to her, honey, that ain't no pistol.
What is it, Paul? Tell us. I have no idea where you're going with this.
I said to her, honey, that ain't no pistol. That's my...
What? I don't know.
I said, honey, that ain't no pistol. That's my...
They go straight into Beth.
That'd be rad.
Like Paul didn't get the memo.
Ding, 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 yeah. Ding, ding.
That'd be sick.
So,
it's the now, most incredible lead into a song, and we're all in the office just tears.
Oh,
like, this is the stupidest thing. And I remember being a kid thinking, Paul is a rock god.
Before we went
when
into this.
When you're four, yeah.
Or
by
14.
The time you're six, you're like, huh.
4, 14, 24, 84, 84,
I was 10.
Yeah.
I was 10.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, Glenn, you did mention that people let me get this off my chest. It was an album of
yes.
just Paul's
yeah, it's incredible.
Banter.
It's hilarious.
You can find it on YouTube. It's up there.
Nice.
All 70 tracks.
70.
70.
70 tracks.
It's just, and it's just
people.
It's a whole record of that. People!
Dude, that is... that's like, the, I mean, there's no one better at being a frontman.
I'd pay to go just watch that.
Yeah.
Like, there's no band. It's just him up there hyping songs but never playing one. I'd be like, 2650, I'm there.
I would pay,
see
too.
See you at the Paramount.
Dude, one of my favorite you know? Concerts was seeing Paul Stanley with his backing band, which I think was the backing band for that NXS. I can't remember. It was like one of those bands, like The Voice or something, like the backing
Rockstar,
band for it.
Supernova.
I think that might have been in one. And he did the Showbox at the Market and performed. So I went and
great
saw
show.
That. Oh my gosh,
yeah.
Dude! He did maybe two solo songs, and the rest were Kiss songs.
Just entertaining as hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now,
and I'm watching them. I mean, honestly, maybe 20 feet from me is Paul Stanley from Kiss. Just and he killed it. He crushed it.
Now, somebody said, like, the first top comment on this is that if you're not listening to this at 0.5 speed, you're doing yourself a disservice. I feel that we're doing ourselves a disservice if I don't play this at 0.5 speed.
Oh, so we're
up,
doing
Rev?
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, so let's, this is just going right in the middle
so
of it.
So
I have
Paul?
No idea what's going on. This is Drunk Paul Stanley.
It's so hot outside. You always need something to cool y'all. There's gotta be some people out.
Yeah.
Oh, this is fitting.
That's Gene's stomach from the pastrami. Excuse me. It's actually the red.
I was talking to somebody backstage before, and they would tell me there's a lot of you people there that like to drink vodka and orange juice.
It's like Kiss as fronted by Tron Carter.
Whoop.
Yeah.
And you need something to bring you up.
Uh-huh.
There's only one thing that's gonna do it the way you want it.
Your love gun.
They go straight to Beth.
Beth!
What's that? I can't hear you. Cold shit.
That's awesome.
It was cold gin time again.
Cold gin time again. 30 gins in.
Yeah, I mean, how much time do you think he spends on? I would love to interview Paul just about his in-between song banter and just ask him, hey, how much, what kind of preparation? Do you prepare like a comic where you're like at a notepad and you're like, you know what would be a good point? Like, here's my beats, here's this, here's that. Or does he just start winging it and say, I'm going to just say a bunch of ridiculous stuff?
I think he just wings it, man.
You think he's just that?
Well, but I think he's got some selling points. Like, he knows he's going to reference the following
topics.
His
bullet point list.
Yeah. He's like, if he went to work for QVC, he would own. Like, you'd be buying that samurai sword, no question asked.
And all I wanted was Tupperware, and I ended up with a samurai sword.
Oh, you couldn't even change the channel, because Paul was on there like, you need this ladder to climb high.
Dude, I remember...
When you people want to get high, use your hands and come right back down.
Dude, I remember when I saw him in Albany, New York, and Albany's got the Adirondacks, the mountains. He's like, I know. I'm looking out there, and I thought that the Adirondacks were the only place that had the nicest mountains, but I'm looking at all these fine women showing off their mountains.
He's like, he does a little bit of prep there.
A little local nod. I thought that was cool. Nice. Said, he's like brought it all together.
He studies up.
Yeah. He knew Adirondacks were mountains.
That's what I'm saying, man. He could sell iced Eskimos. He could sell ketchup popsicles to a woman in white dresses.
Wow. Whether you like the band or not, you can't
deny. All they're entertaining is F.
Paul Stanley is one of the greatest frontmen ever for the ridiculous nature of what he does.
National treasure.
Yeah.
Tell David Lee Roth I can still do splits, people. Yeah.
People.
The people.
All right, check out another voicemail.
Hi, guys. It's Mama.
Mama.
Been thinking about you a lot lately. Hope you're doing okay. I love you all.
Aw.
And I don't know if Hawknado has told you, but I fell again and broke the same arm. The elbow. Painful. Really painful. But I'm doing okay. And I hope you guys are really doing good. I love you, and I think of you often.
Aw.
Bye-bye.
Bless your heart, sweetheart.
Please take care of your arm, Mama.
Yeah.
We love you.
Hate to hear that.
No, that sucks. Ah, much love to you, Mama. We love you. And happy... this is actually our last show before Thanksgiving. I just thought about that.
Yeah, it is.
Next week, we're doing Live Day. Hopefully, you could join us. All of us are going to be there. Glenn is our maestro of music. He's got a lot of projects in his hands.
Yeah.
My hands are very full. I would say also Kyle Court's hands Kyle... Courts Cahans. Oh my God. That's a band name if ever there was a band name.
Yep.
Kyle Courts Cahans are also extraordinarily
full. You can't steal Ziggy's child's
full.
Name for a band name, Glenn. Come
it's
on.
It's an honor to Cahans that we name a band after him.
Kyle Courts Cahans.
Yes. So both of you guys are doing a crap ton for Live Day on the musical side. So that's going to be happening on Tuesday. Go to KISW.com for all the details or listen to it live on the air from 6 to 10 a.m. And then again from 2 to 6 p.m., both us and the Men's Room doing everything live. And Bruiser Brody will be playing.
Yes.
Windowpane's going to be playing.
Yes.
It's going to be a great time. Paul Stanley's going to do an in-between song banter. It's going to be fantastic. And then the following Tuesday, I'm gone because it's Thanksgiving and I'm in New York.
Cool.
That is so cool.
Nice. You spend some time with family.
I can't wait to hear your stories about just going back to New York.
It's going to be an overwhelming experience to the point where it's going to be cold. So between the cold and the overwhelming amount of family stuff that we're going to be doing in New Jersey, just because of the amount of time that we have off, we're going to spend 7 days with my family. And then we're taking a vacation, and we're going to Disney World.
Nice.
So to get away from the family.
Yeah.
I felt like I wouldn't feel good doing it if we only had, like, you know, where I could only do, like, 4 days. But I was like, man, we're going to be with them for 6 or 7 days.
Are you going to Disney in Florida or Disney in California?
Florida.
Florida.
Yeah, the way we worked out the travel, like, I did the, like, Travelocity or Expedia, one of them. I can't remember which one, whichever one was the cheapest. And the price was exactly the same. Like, the the extra trip to Florida didn't add anything to our trip coming back home. So we're like, let's do it. And found an Airbnb.
Yeah,
that
right
was
next to that is Universal Paramount, which is pretty amazing, like Twilight Zone, the ride, and all that kind of stuff.
The Harry Potter ride.
It's as cool, if not cooler, than Disney.
We're doing
it's right next door.
Our goal is to do 2 days at Disney World and 1 day wherever Harry Potter is.
Yeah.
Because my wife wants to do that. We've sure. already done it, but they've added more stuff to it. So that's truly the main reason why we're going.
Get that butterbeer.
But and I've never been to Disney World, so I'm going to just rub it in my parents' face. I'm like, all these years, I've asked you to take me to Disney World, and you failed me.
Had to do it on my own.
Yeah, now after Thanksgiving, I'm leaving you guys, and I'm going to Disney World.
So hopefully you have a good argument where I could say it. I'm going where you never took me.
Okay. And then your dad's just like, when you try to run away, he's like, just go.
Yeah.
Fine, I'll pack for you.
Like, blood is on your hands.
Oh, my God.
One more voicemail, and then we're going to bone out.
Excuse me?
I just read the statistic that most people check their phones on average 34 times a day.
Oh,
and I have to tell you, you know what? Yeah. I didn't really realize it until I was out with this chick the other night, and she totally blew me off. She couldn't stop texting her friends, and she was like, everything that we were talking about, she started Googling, she started looking it up. I mean, I barely even make eye contact with this chick because she just kept like staying on her phone, and all I wanted to do was just sit there and just talk to her and have a nice conversation and whatever. But like the entire time she was on her phone, I'll probably like never see her again because of it.
Just tell her to get the damn phone out of her hands.
She's got to have something in her hands, dude. Just replace the phone with something else.
Oh, dear.
I do miss the days of
why don't you look up this? People? You know what I mean, people?
Warm up your hands a little bit.
Stick it in there.
I do miss the days of just having a conversation where you didn't need to Google everything. You know what? Why don't we just have an argument where one of us is truly wrong and we just don't know until later?
Like, it's usually drinking with the buddies.
Yeah.
Like, we'll just do that. And it'll be like, you know, I don't believe you, but I don't care enough
to Google this.
I'd rather yell at you for the next hour as we're doing shots.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I love those days. Arguing for the sake of nothing, no reason. I swear they made it to the Stanley Cup Finals. No, they didn't. Now it's like, oh, just Google it. Oh,
yeah.
Well, that just ended that fun conversation.
Right.
Bastards. Yeah. Glenn, what's going on in your world, my man, besides Live Day? Anything? Congratulations on the Kickstarter.
Yeah. So did we? Yeah.
The last time we talked, they had three hours to go.
Yeah, 3 hours. So yeah, my goal was to try and hit $6,000, which I wasn't sure I could do, and I think it was 10,460.
Yeah, over the 10 G's.
So awesome. Which is really, really cool. I'm like super, really, really blown away by that. Just really touched by that level of support, and definitely frees me up quite a bit. Financially to make a really great record. Brett and I are kind of doing some studio hunting right now and hoping to get into the studio middle of December if that works out. I don't know if that's going to work out yet or not, but that's the plan.
Oh, I can't wait to hear
it. Yeah, the original plan was end of November, but I put all this in progress before Castle was like, hey, Glenn, Live Day is the 20th.
Let's go!
It turned my world completely on its ear.
Oh, God.
But, so that's going on, and I'm really excited about that. That's really, really, really cool.
Course, I can't wait to get a copy of it in my Cahans.
Oh, man, yeah. I'm going to put my Cahans and heart right into that baby.
I hope you do.
See what we come up with. But, Live Day, and then after Live Day, Thursday, December 6th, the Bike Club, West Seattle Wrecking Crew, has put together a big event for Life Center Northwest. They're heavily involved. They're the ones that basically, if you're an organ donor, they place your organs. And Joel Eggert, who we've talked about on the program, who passed away.
Who inspired the West Seattle Wrecking Crew and had a group of great friends, including yourself and our friend Richie from Thunder Beast. And
that's right.
So many other people that we all know were motorcycle riding crew.
Yeah.
And when he passed, the West Seattle Wrecking Crew was made in honor of him.
Yeah. It was always his dream to start a club. Mm-hmm. And so that was how all that started. But the lady who received his heart is coming down to the
event. That's heavy, man. Wow. That's really cool.
Pretty cool. There's going to be speakers there from Life Center. Jonas from 10 Miles Wild. Jonas from 10 Miles Wide's playing. Intisar's playing.
She's got an amazing voice.
She's incredible. Yeah. Wide Only in the Wreckage is playing.
Nice.
Siren Sisters playing. That's one of Jeff Rouse's bands with, I think, the guys from Vendetta Red.
That was the band that Zach started after Vendetta Red.
That's right.
With Leif, who, long story, but he wasn't the original member of Vendetta Red, but he joined the band towards the end on guitar. the band Vendetta Red, which was a band that Peter Parker used to play with a lot. I love those guys. They were so great and so underrated, and I thought that they were going to become one of the biggest bands in the world. It just didn't happen. But they ended up breaking up and then starting Siren Sister, and Jeff was a part of that as
That's
well.
Right,
so
yeah.
Jeff doing double duty.
Yeah, double duty, because Bruiser Brody's playing that as well. So that's Thursday, December 6th, which is killer. And then, after that, hopefully I'll be in the studio making a record.
Nice.
Or just recovering from Live Day in December 6th.
There you go.
I feel like I haven't slept in a year, and Live Day is still a week away.
Oh, man. It's going to be a time. Yeah. It's going to be fun.
It's going to be an amazing...
It always is.
...journey.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what's going on in my world. Life is good.
Rev, anything going on in your world?
Not really right now. Just waiting, because tomorrow I'll start playing Fallout. And
have you done Red Dead Redemption yet?
Yes.
Is it cool?
Oh my god, I love this stupid game,
bro. I've got a great story about it. I don't play.
Didn't it gross like 156 billion, like
$700 million?
You can't even count to the number on both hands.
It made it made more money in 8 days than the first game made in 8 years.
Whoa. I don't even know Red Dead Redemption 1. So all I've walked in on is Red Dead Redemption 2. And I was at the gym the other day doing some wrestling chain stuff, and Steve West was there.
Oh,
he hurt himself.
Steve West.
He hurt himself recently, but so he hasn't been able to do much because his back has been hurting. So he's been playing a lot of Red Dead Redemption. And he's telling us a story about how, I was doing this, blah, blah, blah. And it's like so much like GTA type vibe, but it's GTA...
With horses. Yeah, totally.
And he's like, I'm in this open field, and I see this really cool horse. So I'm like, screw it. I'm gonna train this horse, and it's going to be my horse. Like, that's in the video game.
Mm-hmm.
So he gets to the horse. He trains the horse. It's now his horse. Out of nowhere comes his old horse, and his old horse just freaking snipes the new horse and just takes that horse out to the point where now he has to kill the new horse because the new horse is dying. And so he kills the new horse, and now he's back with his old horse that he didn't know where it was.
Yeah, I've heard all kinds of stuff. Like, if you don't take care of yourself, you can get tuberculosis.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you actually have to... Like, it's more than just a video game. Like, it's sort of almost like an RPG in a way.
Yeah, it's like a survival RPG with a lot of that stuff. You got to do a lot of those things.
A lot of walking or
a lot of walking, a lot of horse riding. I think the worst thing that I've done, and not even on accident, but I was playing and I was kind of tired, and it was like an escort quest. I found an old lady who had been, not an old lady, but a lady who had been basically, like, taken out by her horse. Her horse fell over and her leg was stuck under it.
Just like this.
So I helped a horse off of her, and I got her onto my horse, and I'm heading back to town to take her back to town. Well, in real life, I was kind of tired and maybe a little inebriated while I was playing, and so I was kind of dozing off as we're playing, and I ran the horse into a bridge, and basically we just went ass over tea kettle, both of us launched, and then my quest was over because she got launched into the thing and died.
Oh, you wow!
Yeah,
we got to lend a helping hand.
Yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Don't drink and ride a horse.
I crack it up hearing these stories. It makes me want to get this game.
It's a fantastic game. I
have to buy
it.
The console.
Yeah, I don't have a. I have an Xbox One. I don't have a PS4.
I have a PS2.
Oh, you're a little bit behind.
I bought a PS4 for this.
Whoa.
I mean, there were other reasons. Like, yeah.
Worth it?
Yes.
Well, it cost like $400 or something?
Yeah, it was, $400. Plus, I had a couple of GameStop cards. So I had a couple of turn-in cards from turning my Wii way back in the day.
Nice.
And all that stuff. So it's definitely worth that.
Speaking of Steve West, I have a big wrestling weekend. This is a weekend where my wife's not going to see me. I've got Friday night 3-2-1 battle, as always. That's always a blast. Hopefully you guys can make it out if you want to see some great weird wrestling. And the name of it's great. You mentioned Pink Floyd. The moniker for this week's 3-2-1 battle at Evolve Fitness is Dark Side of the Moonsault.
Oh, nice.
Which is pretty funny. So it's got the whole logo.
Moonsault?
Moonsault's a move in wrestling.
Yeah, it's a backflip off of the top rope.
Yeah.
It's not cocaine.
No.
Oh, unless you want it to be.
Yeah, unless you want it to.
I'm just thinking moonsault.
Yeah, sometimes
we do take bumps in wrestling.
Yeah. You just put a little bit on the back of your hand, or you use it to surface.
It's a body bump. But yeah, you do whatever you want with it. Well, anyway, so that's happening on Friday night. On Saturday, I'm going to be in Marysville, and I'm actually going to be wrestling at this one. So that's going to be a lot of fun. I'm part of a tag team. Me and Debashi, I believe, are a team, and that's going to be fun. Let me find out the details.
Now, is that local celebrity Steve Miggs, or is that Steve Miggs?
No, this will be local celebrity Steve makes. And I'm on the flyer for this one, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
There I am.
Looking very kind of proud of yourself.
Oh, a local celebrity. Yeah.
Yeah, local celebrity.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so it's happening on Saturday the 17th at the Living Room Coffee House in Marysville. So get some coffee and watch some wrestling, brother. We're turning the coffee house into the Combat Cathedral. That's what the name of it is.
That's awesome.
Welcome to the Combat Cathedral, Combat Pro Wrestling. And that all starts at 5 o'clock. Doors open, 5:30 bell time. Suggested donation is $10, but it's free. So if you want to be a cheap ass and not pay.
No, you donate, brother.
A local celebrity will look down upon you, but you can do that if you want. And then on Sunday, I am going to be in Everett. And it's part of Without a Cause Wrestling. Your local celebrity, Steve Miggs, will be there as well.
Wow.
I don't know what I'm going to be doing, but I'll be causing some problems, I would imagine. And if you just go to Facebook, just type in Without a Cause. You'll be able to pull up their event stuff and get tickets in advance. But that's happening at 2725 Oaks Avenue. It's the Normana Lodge. Really cool people that work there. And you can get some Aquavit, which is a really awesome alcohol. I don't know what it is, but it's freaking great. And that's where I got it the last time. That all starts around 3:30 in the afternoon. So it's an early show because, of course, I got to get up early. The local celebrity has to entertain hundreds of thousands of people.
Hundreds.
Not just the hundreds that show up in Everett. Brother.
Brother.
Levi, obviously lots of stuff going on with you, my man.
Dude, the Gahans is just the one.
You just know that you lost it.
I just lost it.
I'm putting my Gahans on some people on Saturday and Sunday, brother.
We're going to be getting our Gahans into fixing some Thanksgiving dinners for some of the homeless down in Tacoma. That'll nice. Be right over at the 25 Trees has a shop over on 38th Street. And the day after Thanksgiving, on the 23rd, we'll be over there having a little shindig, a little party.
Nice.
And making some food for the homeless again.
That's awesome.
And taking them down to the shelter on Puyallup Avenue.
Nice.
So, the three of us sound like real heartless ass hats. We're like, rock, video games, wrestling, helping the homeless.
Levi's like, I'm going to feed people, but thanks, guys. You got $400 for a gaming console.
Sweet.
How many meals does that buy?
Stories, guys, but I'm feeding the homeless. Save the best
for
last.
We need help, so come down.
People can reach out to you. Do Lion Pride Music on Facebook.
Do it on my personal page, Levi Lyon.
Levi Lyon.
Yeah.
Okay. Lyon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, and also Party Buses, of course. You guys are the best. If you want to have a great time, get yourself a Levi Lyon Pride Party Bus. Mm-hmm. Maybe if you're lucky, Rich will be the guy driving it.
Yeah.
Only if you're lucky.
That's hero status achieved.
But I'd say if you get Rich, you're in for a great time. He's an awesome dude. He's always fun to hang out with.
And he won't lose you.
No, he won't lose you. He gets home safe. And you can just go to Lion Pride Music and find out all that great information with the Long Beach Rehab. Thank you again to Q-Ball. He was awesome, him and his head tattoo. Thanks to Raj from Green Day.
And I don't know what happened to DJ Yella. He was going to call in, too.
Was he really?
He'll be on the tour. Come hang out with Yella.
I didn't know he was supposed to call.
I was trying to get him to, but
I didn't see anything, so he didn't call.
All right, well, yeah, he's got a lot on his hands. All right, why don't we get out of here? So much stuff going on. Hey, thanks to everyone, as always, for listening, and happy Thanksgiving, man.
Have a great holiday.
We hope to see you at Live Day, and if not, hopefully we'll see you at Highway 99 Blues Club December 6th, Thursday night. And it's an early show, so it's not like it's going to be us going on at midnight. I think everything starts at like 7.
Yeah, it starts early and ends early. I mean, we know it's a school night. I think the whole show will be wrapped up by 10:30 or 11 o'clock at the latest. So come on out and support. It's going to be really cool. Those tickets are available at Highway 99 Blues Club, and I would say maybe get on that because they're selling like hotcakes.
And Parker from Queensryche is going to be there as well.
That's correct. I think we're going to try and work it out to get Parker to jam a song with Brody. So
nice.
Yeah, we'll have to figure that out, but it'll be really cool. We'll make him sing something.
The hands all over.
That's right.
We'll make him sing. I'm sure he's happy about that.
Yeah, burden in my hands, maybe.
Dude, how about this? So we're going home in New York. The day we leave for Disney World, the Hold Steady starts a 4 or 5 night residency in Brooklyn. And I was like, to celebrate release of this record. No, it starts the day we leave.
Oh!
Stay positive, you bastards.